All right, and here we have Matthew Berry joining us on the red carpet. Look at that red carpet veteran back and forth with a wave. That man is looking dapper in his blue on blue with a blue tie even. Like, oh, and look, apparently a young fan wants an autograph. That is so sweet, Matthew Berry helping out there. Wow, with a little hand pat too. Look at Matthew Berry. Coming up next, we've got Yates. Holy cow, looking delicious in that. Well, look at those hands too. Field Yates also signing an autograph. Oh, looking for the name of the young child that he is giving that football to. Wow. I'll tell you what, I've never seen someone with a throwing motion like that. Field Yates. Field Yates saying, apparently saying hello to a few more people, and he is, well, that throwing the pin is littering. That's a $200 fine, and you got to go the other way, Field. No big deal. Come on back. Yep, there we go. And Field now understands how a red carpet works. This is Kyle Soppy. What's he doing out here? Yeah, security. Security getting Kyle off the screen here. And last but certainly not least, the star Fania Bell showing up, looking like dynamite. As always, look at those shades. Oh, yes. Always a fan favorite with the paparazzi. All right, and here is a group photo of the entire crew. Wow, everybody is here looking their best, sporting their brightest smiles. Welcome into the 2021 Fantasy Focus Football Awards Show, or as we like to call them, the 06-01 Owies. There are 10 awards up for grabs, 10 prestigious awards that everybody here is playing for. We have a lot of things to be able to get to, but first and foremost, the people that we had voting on these awards, everybody that made it possible, starting with the people here on our show, we'll get to them in a minute, but I want to call out Mike Clay, who was a huge help. Al Zeidenfeld also voted on these. Eric Carabell and Tristan Cockcroft from the Fantasy Focus Baseball Podcast, as well as our new friend Eric Moody helped us out, and a fan vote from Twitter, which we will talk about a little bit later in the show. But now, without further ado, to be able to unveil all of the awards we have set up for today, we're going to introduce our friends, Matthew Field and Stefan.
Welcome to the Fantasy Focus. Today's podcast is presented by Geico. You can download Fantasy Focus wherever you get your podcast. And what a day it is. What an intro that was. That is right. We have reached the final show of the season. It's time to hand out some hardware.
All of us looking our best, and Daniel wearing what he just rolled out of bed.
Wow, that's very unkind to you, by you. It's only been 10 seconds since the show sort of actually started. I mean, think Daniel looks great and trendy.
Tell me I'm lying.
No, he looks trendy and great. He looks really cool.
Absolutely.
You know what, though? It's all relative. Yes. Stefania looks the best. The rest of us are, remember when Larry
in
Bird.
Second place.
That's right. Asked who's playing for second? Yeah, we are all playing for second today. Stefania taking the lead. We have 10 awards as Daniel. Yeah, very much honest. Daniel told you we have 10 awards on our show today. Again, some are saying this is more important to these players than potentially having won the Super Bowl in the past, maybe even the Heisman Trophy, you name it. Mm. It is the most prestigious award that these players have ever won.
I mean, look, and I'll be honest with you.
Okay.
I was surprised when so many NFL players reached out to me offering to bribe me for my vote.
Right.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. I mean, you know,
it's funny that they only reached out to you because they must know you can be bought.
I took every single one of them. Hell yeah. Absolutely. Exactly.
Still unclear. We were actually going to have Patrick Mahomes live in studio. That's how prestigious this award is. Patrick, who just wanted to just to watch. I don't know if he's nominated for any of the awards, but he wanted to be a part of it because obviously being one of the young goats in football, he wanted to be in the company of other goats like Stefania and Matthew.
And Jackson's helping park cars. So, you know, like it's a family affair.
Okay. It's true.
All right, so here's how it's going to work. We are going to go through 10 awards. Daniel is going to read the award and the nominees, and we are going to unveil our winner. Each award has four nominations. Daniel mentioned some of the voters, which included you, the people who voted at Fantasy Focus on Twitter. So without further ado, Daniel, let's get this party started.
This first award is the 1 Week Wonder production that seemingly came out of nowhere but does not have to be a one-hit wonder. Big distinction there. Our four nominees are Tyler Huntley in week 15 with 35.9 fantasy points against the Green Bay Packers. Isaiah McKenzie in week 16 against the Packers with 29.4 fantasy points. Rex Burkhead in week 16 against the Chargers, 28.9 fantasy points. And Kadarius Toney
week 5 against the Dallas Cowboys with 29.6 fantasy points. And the winner for 1 week wonder is Tyler Huntley.
This is Huntley's first 06-010 award, and it's the third time in 5 seasons the AFC North has produced the 1 week wonder.
Very prestigious award for Tyler Huntley, who was something of a late season breakout, not just in fantasy, but also for the Ravens, played well, filling in for Lamar Jackson. And I got to be honest with you, I'm now 0-1. My votes that have been cast are 0-1. I did not vote for Tyler Huntley in this award. How about you, Matthew?
I did vote for Tyler Huntley. Okay. I mean, like, again, so 1 week wonder. I understand. I wonder if the – did you not vote for him because you felt like he was more than a 1 week wonder? I mean, I think I sort of felt like the idea of the award was something that sort of came out of nowhere, the production that seemingly came out of nowhere. And I think there was a lot of questions about how good Tyler Huntley would be filling in that Ravens offense. He had filled in the – I want to say the week before had been the Bears game – right, that he'd come in and it looked ugly, to be honest with you. You know, it was a lot of runs and the passing production wasn't there. But then that next week, with a full week of practice as the number one, Tyler Huntley looked every bit the part in that particular game as a QB1. He actually led all fantasy players in fantasy points that week. And so, and honestly, like, we haven't seen it since.
By the way, the other thing that he did was he elevated your other fantasy stars. So he really did two things. I mean, he played well enough to keep players like Mark Andrews really relevant. There was a question, would they drop off with Tyler Huntley? And to me, that's what surprised me the most, was he did not only what he needed to do throwing and running, but he actually kept your other fantasy stars relevant.
So I actually voted for Isaiah McKenzie for the Buffalo Bills, who was awesome in week 16, the best player besides Josh Allen on the field that day. And the reason why is that leading up to that game, both Cole Beasley and Gabe Davis had been ruled out due to COVID protocols. And a lot of people were like, okay, hey, initially it was Beasley who was ruled out, so we'll pivot to Gabe Davis. And then Gabe Davis was ruled out. It was like, okay, Manuel Sanders, Stephon Diggs, those two guys probably likely to have big days today, but it's not a great matchup. You're playing against the Patriots, who the last time they had played, obviously different weather conditions. And Isaiah McKenzie had the best game of his career. And since then, he has been a non-factor for them, right? I mean, at least Tyler Huntley has continued to start for Baltimore. So I felt like this was the clear-cut winner. That being said, I've decided today that today is not the day that I'm going to take you to task too often, because I see where you're coming from with Tyler Huntley.
Well, and here's the other thing. I mean, honestly, like, to what something else that played into my factor in this vote was the fact that it was week 15. Mm. And that was a week where there were so many players out due to COVID protocols. You and I, Field and Stefania, we play in the War Room League where Tyler Huntley had to be started.
Right.
I mean, there were, and I heard from a lot of fans as well, where they had to start Tyler Huntley because they had no other quarterback available to them, you know, just basically based on, you know, COVID or injuries. And, you know, week 15 was sort of a bloodbath in terms of player availability. So for me, not only the fact that he came out and came out during a playoff week, you know, and just because he had looked, because he hadn't had a ton of success prior to that, to me, he wins the 1 week wonder award from me. It's weird to me that the Bills haven't used Isaiah McKenzie more. He feels like a real weapon. Well, he is fast.
They do play the Patriots in the playoffs this week. Daniel?
I do want to weigh in and say really quickly, a lot of the fan vote asked why Justin Jackson was not a part of this. And that is because Justin Jackson was replacing a running back who was a top 10 running back. We had him ranked as a top 10 running back. It's like saying, is Alexander Mattison a 1 week wonder when Dalvin Cook is out? That is the reason why Justin Jackson is in there. We just saw that a lot. Twitter wanted to make sure that we address that from people as well.
Yeah.
All right. Game of the year, our second award. Are you guys ready?
Sure are.
The single best game of the fantasy season. And our nominees are Ja'Marr Chase, week 17 against Kansas City with 55.6 fantasy points. Jonathan Taylor in week 11 at Buffalo, 53.4 fantasy points. Leonard Fournette with a huge week 12, 4-touchdown game, 44.1 fantasy points, and Mark Andrews back in week 5, 41.7 fantasy points. And the winner for game of the year is Ja'Marr Chase.
Hey!
Ja'Marr Chase is the first rookie to win this honor and the second receiver to earn this award in 3 seasons.
So I actually think there's a compelling case for two games here. And when you're playing game of the year, generally speaking, the highest scoring game is the odds-on favorite. The case for Ja'Marr Chase, beyond the fact that he had the highest scoring game of the year at 55.6 fantasy points, is that it came in week 17, which is the championship. But there is a counter case for Jonathan Taylor, who finished second. He got two of the 11 votes. 53.4 fantasy points is that Jonathan Taylor helped more people that week than Ja'Marr Chase did in week 17, right? Because it's feasible that by week 17, if you had Ja'Marr Chase, you were not playing in the fantasy finals. So I see the case for Jonathan Taylor, but let's spend a few minutes showering praise upon Ja'Marr Chase, who learned how to catch in late August and all of a sudden had one of the greatest rookie seasons we've ever seen.
Before we get to Ja'Marr Chase, I'll just say, just as long as we're talking about other games, what's weird to me is that, like, if you said you can't vote for Ja'Marr Chase in this award.
Yeah, you would have gone for Mark Andrews.
I would have voted for Mark Andrews week five against the Colts, 41.7 fantasy points, to get that kind of production from a tight end.
Mm.
I mean, listen, Taylor's awesome. Chase is awesome, obviously, but we've seen big games from, you know, from wide receivers, from running backs, but to get that kind of production from a tight end, like, I would argue that one or Travis Kelce's huge game against the Chargers was just an unbelievable game. So for me, position scarcity, but ultimately I ended up voting for Ja'Marr Chase. To your point, it happened during the finals, and there were, you know, like, if you had Ja'Marr Chase in the finals, you won.
You know, it's
we talk about league winners all the time. He was legitimate, a league winner.
So for those of you that are wondering, what's the thread between these four games? I did a little bit of digging, and I found out that Matthew faced off against each of these players in these weeks. So we knew.
They knew they were going on.
Right. So if you're ever wondering what the criteria is to be the game of the year, you have to not only show out, but also play against Matthew. It's weird that always happens to you.
Secret squirrel, it does. It always happens to me. And, you know, like, one of these days, fantasy football is going to work out for me.
Right.
But so far, it has not as of yet. I just keep having bad luck.
Wow.
Shots fired. Let's go.
Top rope.
Wow. From the top rope. Wow. Stefania.
I wanted to quickly throw an idea out there.
Yes,
are we overlooking Derrick Henry, who in week two had 47.2 fantasy points just because he has been gone for so much of this season and we kind of forget? It's a what have you done for me now lately kind of a league, but he had an incredible beginning to the season.
I think there's a reason why.
It's because,
like, he's done that all the time.
It's like game of the year. Like, don't you mean like the first 8 weeks of the season of the year for Derrick Henry? I do love the stat that's been going around Twitter, which is that
he's the sixth most
rushing yards in the NFL, despite the fact that he hasn't played since week eight or whatever.
So ridiculous. Yeah.
I mean, he's just, you know, there's a reason he's King Henry. It's so funny. I was, I'm in an expert best ball league, quote unquote expert league, and I was crushing it. But yeah, I ended up finishing like third or fourth in that league because I had Derrick Henry. I drafted Derrick Henry in best ball, and I was just absolutely dominating. Wow. And then Derrick Henry went down, and I didn't obviously have Deontay Foreman on my preseason best ball team. And so, you know.
In case you missed that field, he was dominating.
He was dominating, yes. But honestly, like,
crushing like a grape.
Who drafts Derrick Henry? Who does that?
First
time players. That's the
wow. Yeah. Wow. I will say this, Derrick Henry, potentially a nominee for this next award that we are going to give out, which is the Alex Smith Award for Comeback Player of the Year, which is a player returning from injury. And our nominees are Dak Prescott, quarterback 11, missed 11 games in 2020. Joe Mixon missed 10 games in 2019, finished as RB4. Debo Samuel missed 9 games in 2020, finished as wide receiver 3. And Joe Burrow missed 6 games in 2020, finished as quarterback 9. And the award for the Alex Smith Comeback Player of the Year goes to Debo Samuel.
Debo becomes the first wide receiver to win this award since DeAndre Hopkins back in 2017.
All right, Stefania, I had a little bit of an electrical issue at my house yesterday, a power issue, if you will. Yeah. I missed the 49ers game, how it concluded. Did Debo Samuel play, and how did he do, and how did they do specifically?
Okay, so just let me tell you one thing. Debo Samuel threw the 49ers' first touchdown pass.
Oh, he did. Wow.
Yeah.
Did he do anything else that game or no?
He caught some passes.
Did he run for a touchdown or no?
For a touchdown, right. Wow. So Debo Samuel forget asking him to qualify at running back. I mean, why not just put him a qualifier at every single position?
Deebo Samuel did everything except one thing. And you know what that is?
Fumble.
Get Stefania's vote for this award.
That's
What's going on? Everyone, I voted for Deebo Samuel, but Johnny come lately to the bandwagon, Stefania Bell, did not vote for Deebo Samuel.
Oh my gosh.
You phony 49ers fan. you faux San Faux Frisco. That's,
I will own my vote.
That
was good. That one was good.
That was pretty good. San Faux.
I don't hear you. I voted for Joe Burrow, and I'll tell you why. Moment of seriousness. What Joe Burrow overcame is nothing short of remarkable. Joe Burrow had an injury that many people thought would not have him ready to start the season. Joe Burrow shredded his knee. It happened late last season, and a lot of people thought he wouldn't be ready. Not only that, he comes out, and not only does he play in every single game, he rested in week 18, but that was a team decision. He played in every single game. He led his team to the division title.
Yeah.
He's been unbelievable. He's had more fantasy production than I think most people give him credit for, because we're like, okay, he's leading his team, but he's not necessarily a fantasy player. But to me, it was all about the comeback from the severity of the injury and having to be the leader of his team. Without him, Bengals offense doesn't run.
Yeah, I guess for me, I'm like, this is a fantasy award, and it's a fantasy show. And honestly, of the four nominees, Joe Burrow would have been my fourth place vote. Like, Dak Prescott missed more games. Felt like, I would certainly interrupt you.
The award is titled the Alex Smith Award. Alex Smith won it last year. Alex Smith was not a fantasy star.
He was not. But we are a fantasy show, and there are a lot of players that came back from injury last year that aren't fantasy. We name it after Alex Smith because of his courageous comeback, and just, you know, to honor our now colleague Alex Smith. But for me, like Joe Mixon, who we were really nervous. He had that kind of weird injury at the end of the year. We didn't know what was going on with Joe Mixon, and he came back to be an every down workhorse back. In a year in which so many running backs got injured, Joe Mixon, other than the COVID, Joe Mixon was out there pretty much every week. Unbelievable. But for me, Deebo Samuel, comeback player of the year. 10 finishes as a top 20 wide receiver, 12 games with 16 or more fantasy points, more than A.J. Brown, more than Ja'Marr Chase. I don't know, man. Like, I get it with Joe Burrow, but, like, he was QB9 on the season. He had a great year. He solidified himself as a QB1 in fantasy, but Deebo, who missed a lot of time last year, he missed 9 games in 2020, had never played at this kind of level before. I don't know.
The only question I have.
I know Stefania doesn't like the 49ers. She's kind of a bandwagoner.
right.
So the only question I have is I
noticed that you referenced Alex Smith as our colleague, Alex Smith. Like, do you think when he's at home, like, watching TV with his kids and they see you on TV and they're like, hey, daddy, who is that? It's my colleague, Matthew Berry.
Yeah. No, he doesn't. And I'll tell you why. Because I'm not on TV. Oh. I'm not actually on TV.
How about internet TV?
Internet, yes. Paid internet? Like,
Disney
yes.
Plus.
Smith, big into the fantasy football.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Alex
is? Yeah. Alex Smith, big into the fantasy football.
So maybe he knows who I am.
He drafted Christian McCaffrey last year, and he's like, Stefania, I'm obviously not very good. I go, Alex, you of all people understand that sometimes people get hurt. And,
yeah.
It affects your fantasy outcome. But yeah, Alex Smith, big into fantasy football. We're going to have him as a guest next year.
Does Alex hit you up for fantasy advice?
I'm not allowed to reveal that.
Wow.
Unlike you.
That was a yes for the record.
I do not boast about who comes to me for advice. I don't show pictures on Instagram.
I know. Like, the first time that Clooney texted me for advice, I did not say a thing for, like,
wow. That's so good. All right. I really quickly want to wrap up this.
Alex,
the music, which means
shut up.
If you'd like to win next year, feel free to hit me up.
Wow.
Yeah.
You heard me. For the record, the comeback player of the year, the fan vote actually was for Joe Burrow.
Smart fans.
Well. Wow.
Smart.
Matthew and I were the only two smart ones on the show.
Going with Deebo. Who'd you vote for, Daniel?
Deebo Samuel.
It says on the sheet, dude.
I don't read the sheet.
He doesn't read the show.
Don't worry about it.
How long are we doing the show together?
It's only like 119th show of the year.
The next award is disappointing.
The show isn't over yet? All right, go ahead.
Player of the year.
Oh,
the Matthew Berry disappointing player of the year.
Wow.
It's the opposite of the MVP. Eligible. It is the least return on investment, which is why it's called the Matthew Berry disappointing
Named
player of the year.
Named by ESPN that, yes.
Yes, correct. Our nominees are Saquon Barkley, drafted as running back 5 because he's awesome, but finished the year as running back 29. Christian McCaffrey, drafted as RB1 because he freaking deserves it, but missed 10 games this year due to injury. DK Metcalf, a beast, drafted as wide receiver 5, but did not finish, finished the season as wide receiver 22. And Terry McLaurin, wide receiver 9, ADP, struggles there with the Washington football team, finished as wide receiver 31. The award for disappointing player of the year goes to
the 06010E,
Christian McCaffrey.
CMC was our playoff MVP just 2 seasons ago, but in 2021, injuries resulted in him being the most disappointing player. The 4th straight season a star running back has taken home this trophy.
So interestingly enough, neither Stefania or Matthew or I voted for Christian McCaffrey. Daniel did, and I think all of us felt like the injury context was too big to ignore for Christian McCaffrey in that, like, at least if you had, when you had CMC, like, you were able to pivot quickly because you either went and grabbed Chuba Hubbard or you didn't have to bother making the decision week in and week out, am I playing Christian McCaffrey? You knew you were not. I voted for Saquon Barkley, as did Matthew, because when you draft a guy as high as Saquon Barkley frequently went, you are pot committed to playing that player every single week, and he does have some tantalizing skills. Like, I am a firm believer that at some point in the next 2 years, we're going to see a dynamic Saquon Barkley again. But you played him every week, and you probably made the right decision, the wrong decision in doing so.
Right. That's, to me, that's why I voted for Barkley Field, is that at least with Chris McCaffrey, he wasn't out there a lot, but when he was out there, he was really good.
He was awesome. He was CMC.
He was Chris McCaffrey, right? And so injuries happen, and it's disappointing. And look, the argument for him, number one overall coming into the season, was, oh, last year's a fluke.
Mm-hmm.
And then he ends up getting injured again this year. And so there's going to be a lot of conversation this offseason about where you draft Chris McCaffrey this season. But with Saquon Barkley, who there was a lot of debate on this very show about Saquon Barkley, who made my preseason hate list. You know, Mike Clay famously, you know, all in on him, had him, I think, at running back 3 overall. Him and I went back and forth on Barkley many times in the preseason. I don't feel like I'm calling Mike out because, you know, on this, Mike is great, and Mike hits 99% of his calls.
Mike's about to storm the red carpet, yeah.
No, Mike hits 99% of his calls, but I just, on this particular one, like,
you nailed it.
He would fully admit that he takes an L on Saquon Barkley. And I think you're right, Field, is that the issue with Barkley is that the people that drafted him in the top 5 overall, and that was his ADP on ESPN, he went as a top 5 player overall. Not if you went by my ranks, but whatever. I had him as a mid-tier RB2.
Which is why he's not the most disappointing player of the year. That's all I want to say.
No, yeah. Exactly. Except, but in terms of ESPN ADP, he went as a top 5 player, and I think Field's point is absolutely correct, which is that he wasn't hurt, so you felt like you had to keep rolling Saquon Barkley out there.
Hurt.
Yeah, well, that was some of the argument, like, is that he wouldn't have his explosiveness back, Stefania, and the fact is that...
And then he got hurt again.
Right. He was hurt, and then he was ineffective, then he got hurt again, then he was ineffective. Like, every single week, you had to sort of roll him out there, and honestly, the best weeks to have had Saquon Barkley were the weeks he didn't play, so you could have rolled out Devontae Booker, who was actually good.
Wow. It was a C.E.H. Darrell Williams thing, right?
Yeah. Right. I mean, I'm merely, we are a fantasy football show, and we are talking fantasy production, Devontae Booker, fantasy production-wise, was better than Saquon Barkley for the... He was.
I'm not disputing that.
So I voted for DK Metcalf. Okay. My rationale was DK Metcalf, again, drafted as a top 5 wide receiver. He did not have a top 5 wide receiver week until week 17. In other words, he was not really someone you could use most of the season. And every week, I feel like every week we talked about, would this be the week for DK Metcalf to come out? And we would talk about this. And you started because he had the potential any week to be amazing. So to me, for return on investment, and why? Because I didn't invest that high in Saquon Barkley. And maybe I looked at it through my lens, but I'm with you, Matthew. In the preseason, I was lower expectations on him. So to me, the season for Saquon Barkley rolled out. I didn't factor in the new injury. You can't see those coming. But I wasn't surprised by what we saw the first few weeks because I thought that's where it would be. Return on investment for some folks, maybe. For me, DK Metcalf, that's where.
DK Metcalf is right up there. I think, for me at least, I factored in the fact that Russell Wilson was playing with 9 fingers. For, you know what I mean? Like, I do think that Russell Wilson's...
You said he didn't need 2
hands. I was wrong about that, turns out. Turns out I was wrong. first time for everything. And turns out this is, you know, listen, it was
first
a year firsts, and for the, you know, and I was wrong for once. Wow. And it happened.
I'm really proud of
but
you.
But what I would say is,
it this
is
long
that,
without
right.
ever being wrong.
I mean, you know, like it's a burden that and a cross that I've had to bear. Like, I just say that, like, so Russell Wilson like missed 4 weeks and then he clearly wasn't himself for 3 weeks after
yeah,
that. So
right.
I feel like with DK Metcalf, you have to chalk up at least some of that there. That it wasn't all in his control.
So let me
his disappointing season.
Let me tell you why all.
But
of,
I agree. Like it, compared to preseason expectations.
Why we're all wrong,
was,
Daniel?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I want to tell you guys why you're all wrong, because none of you guys had the right answer. I voted for CMC as well as the fan vote did, and here's the reason why. Saquon Barkley is not a disappointment because Matthew, as you alluded to it, most of us went into the year thinking that he wasn't going to be the running back that everyone was drafting him to be, and we said that a number of times. Don't draft him that early. When I look at DK Metcalf was absolutely frustrating, right? He was, but he still had weeks where you could play him. Just because he wasn't top five doesn't mean you couldn't play him. Terry McLaurin, he was disappointing because their offense was awful. It wasn't like Terry McLaurin was bad, but Christian McCaffrey, you drafted him number one overall thinking that you were going to be getting a guy back that is the number one overall player. You could not plan for that injury. That is why I originally was not on board for CMC being on this, but like you can't plan for that. I didn't plan on, I knew, I don't know, I feel like I knew that Saquon Barkley wasn't going to be good, but that's just because Matthew Berry told me he wasn't going
to
be good.
Well, I just got to tell you
Thank
this,
you
though.
For
last
for
word
once.
Here, Daniel, because we have to move forward here, is that like, you may have been pessimistic on Saquon Barkley, but nobody had him as RB29. Like the pessimistic take, even if Matthew's pessimistic take was as bad as it got, was like a mid-tier RB2. That's
right.
RB15. RB29.
That's right.
The answer is Saquon Barkley. Let's move forward.
And like RB29 and like a bat, like again, that was the point. It's like you felt the need to have to start him every week.
Yeah.
Like I'd have rather had CMC because then, okay, we know he's out and we know he's out for a while and I can at least make some sort of adjustment. But every week with Saquon, like that was a dumpster fire. That offense there, which by the way,
that's a really nice way of putting it. I mean, most people would be unkind.
Real talk,
more unkind.
By the way, that offense got a lot worse after they fired Jason Garrett. I think Jason Garrett was scapegoated for a lot of issues that weren't his fault.
I don't think that you are wrong, Matthew Berry. And let's move on to our next award, which a lot of fantasy managers were probably hoping they picked up some of these players in case they had one of those disappointments on their roster. Waiver Wire Wonder provides the most value for a player who was not drafted in fantasy leagues. And the nominees are Cordero Patterson, rostered, 80P. Well, I'm not sure what ADP is. Wide receiver one roster percentage, 2.4% for Cordero Patterson.
Week one roster.
There we go. Hunter Renfro. Week one roster percentage.
Did you not spend time with the script because you were so busy picking out an outfit?
I was looking at ADP. That was my fault. Also, Elijah Mitchell. Week one roster percentage, 0.6. And Dalton Schultz, week one roster percentage, 11.8. Finished as tight end 3 on the season. And the waiver wire wonder is Cordero Patterson.
Patterson won a competitive vote and becomes the 4th running back to win this award in 5 seasons.
Great, great stuff from Cordero Patterson, a guy who has bounced around the league. Matthew was on Patterson all preseason of 2012. So congratulations to you. You are quite the soothsayer. You have excellent foresight. So
time is a flat circle. Like my point is like I can't do everything for you. I can't draft the players for you. I can't come over your house and click it for you. Look, I gave you the Cordero Patterson answer. Mm. Is it my fault that you took it in 2012 instead of this year when it was 2021?
No.
It's really simple to mix up
2020. Yeah, just a simple reverse of two numbers,
fault.
Right?
Like I can't do everything for you.
Yeah.
Like, I can only analyze the players. At some point, you've got to interpret the data yourself.
All right. Quick, make your pick, Matthew.
Everybody who was nominated for this, all 4 players got at least one vote. Hunter Renfro was 2nd with 3 votes. Matthew and I both were on CP. Stefania had Renfro. Daniel had Dalton Schultz. But I think part of the reason why Patterson takes home this award is that on the waiver wire, it's probably hardest to find running backs and count on consistently throughout the season. And while he did taper off at the end of the year, He may well have carried you to the playoffs because of how effective he was for the first, let's call it 13 weeks of the year, when he was red hot in most weeks. It was a revelation. It was cool to see a guy that's easy to root for. I picked Patterson. I can see the case potentially for Renfro, but Patterson plays a more valuable position in fantasy.
That was the deciding vote for me. And honestly, as much as I love Hunter Renfro was a sleeper for a lot of people. Yeah. Like, he's mentioned in my preseason love, hate, and the others receiving votes. Like,
listening to you is what you're trying to get at, because he wasn't drafted in most leagues. That's how he qualified.
Yes, in most 10 teams. I understand. I hear you, Stefania, but I'm just saying that, like, he was drafted in more leagues at the end, or at least on somebody's radar, in a way that Patterson was an afterthought.
Yeah.
And honestly, Patterson was an afterthought. And all jokes aside about me being 8 years early or whatever, like, even people that wanted to back up Mike Davis,
right,
were looking at, like, Javian Hawkins, right, were looking at Kadri Allison back then. They were looking at, like, Wayne Gallman, who got signed for a cup of coffee with them.
Sure.
Like, no one was thinking about Cordero Patterson at all, not even the NFL,
sure,
except for Arthur Smith. And the other thing that I would say here is that my second place vote, like, if Patterson had been ruled out, was Elijah Mitchell.
Yeah,
Again, running backs are just so valuable. They're so hard to find. And to find somebody that you could start at the running back position that many weeks in a row, I actually picked Patterson over Mitchell just because Patterson played more games and you had more usage out of him. But I think you could have made a very strong case for Elijah Mitchell. Renfro and Schultz, both great players, both great years and stories, but I felt like, to your point, Field, the running back position is just so, you know, desolate and in need of players.
An incredible year by both Matthew Berry and Adam Schefter on long shots on Fantasy Football Now. The guys averaged over 10 points per game for the players they selected. Schefty kicked off the year with Elijah Mitchell. That one certainly paid off in a major way. Let's keep things moving forward, Daniel.
All right. Rookie of the Year is our next award. It goes to the biggest impact by a first-year player. The nominees are Najee Harris. Finished the season as running back 3 with 300.7 fantasy points. Ja'Marr Chase finished the season as wide receiver 5 with 304.6 fantasy points. Jalen Waddle finished the year as wide receiver 13 with 245.8 fantasy points. And Javonte Williams finished the year as running back 17, 204.9 fantasy points. And the winner for Rookie of the Year is Ja'Marr Chase.
Chase wins his second award of the evening, this time following in the footsteps of his college teammate Justin Jefferson, who won in convincing fashion last season. Long live the gritty.
Along with the gritty, he does hit the gritty very, very, very effectively.
We all voted for Chase, right?
No surprise here.
I'm happy to tell you why I voted for Najee Harris.
Please tell us. Fine, that's fair.
Because the argument that you just made, Matthew, for 10 minutes about running backs being the most valuable to me.
It wasn't 10 minutes.
It was at least 10. That's why Najee Harris had the biggest impact, was because of the position he played. And if you look at the number of points, if you look at active wide receivers who topped 180 fantasy points in their first 16 career games, there was Odell with 246.7, Jefferson 186.2. In between that, Ja'Marr Chase with 221. To me, it was the value as a pass catcher and the consistent point production that he offered at the running back position that made him so valuable as a rookie. I thought that's why he had the most impact.
Well, I mean, I think the point you just made is in favor of Ja'Marr Chase. Like, I understand the running back argument there, Stefania. For me, what also went into that point, though, into my vote, for me, was, again, sort of ADP, right? And so Najee Harris was a top 10 running back, you know, and a first-round pick for most fantasy drafts. It's not that he didn't have a great rookie year. He did. He was amazing. But I think that was expected. And honestly, you know, there were definitely some, as that Steelers offense kind of went up and down, there were a couple of down weeks there. And certainly there were with Ja'Marr Chase. But I think that for me, and maybe this isn't part of it, but for me, because Ja'Marr Chase was in the preseason thought of like, oh, he's got these drops issues and he hadn't played, you know, football in a year. He'd taken the year off. And, you know, in some early ADP, both T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd were being drafted ahead of him.
Yeah.
So for me, I think value is what they're all great. Like, you know, Waddle was great, right? I mean, like, all these guys. Like, Javonte Williams was great. But for me, just the production from Jamar Chase plus the value you got in terms of where you had to draft him versus Najee Harris is what put the vote to me for Jamar Chase.
So I voted for Jamar Chase as well. I feel as though part of it was probably influenced by the fact that he played his best in critical moments down the stretch. And Najee was good, start to finish, but wasn't like dominant. He had a little bit of a lull in a couple of games recently.
But he played strong, and if you had him in your fantasy playoffs, he was an impact running back for you at a time when you really needed
him. No, listen, Jamar Chase definitely had a lull in the second half in the playoffs. No, Jamar Chase had a lull in the second half, then turned it on in the fantasy playoffs.
I think if you look forward to next season, here's what I would say. Pay attention to how much Najee Harris catches the ball, because in PPR scoring, that is invaluable. That is what you're looking for.
But it depends if they get a quarterback that can throw more than 3 yards downfield. That's the,
Yeah, but at least you're getting the volume.
Yeah, I got it. It's a really great season. A really great season from Najee Harris. Like, I think there's a different conversation about the value of a running back in the first round. But the Steelers did what they did, and I was just sort of combing through some of the numbers this morning. Najee Harris had nearly 1,700 yards from scrimmage, almost 100 per game. It's 70 catches, most of all running backs. Really impressive there. 7 rushing touchdowns, 1,200 rushing yards, 4th in the NFL. Didn't fumble at once. That really caught me.
Did not fumble once.
Really great season. Two good cases. I think the vote is more lopsided and does not reflect how close this actually was, right? Like, this is what happens when we have these votes. Like, you know, the old Russell Wilson's never gotten an MVP vote in the NFL because you vote for one player and find me the year which he deserved the MVP, right? If this was my ballot unquestionably was Jamar Chase, Najee Harris, almost like 1 and 1A, and Jalen Waddle and Javonte Williams in a different spectrum.
Right. Yeah, no, I would agree with that. And I think that's a great point. I think in this particular case, Najee Harris is in some way a victim of expectations.
Right. Yes.
Because again, everyone came into the year expecting Najee Harris to be great and being this volume magnet, which he was, right, to get massive volume. And people were concerned about Jamar Chase, and then obviously he exploded. But to your point, I mean, it's like every year that Bill Belichick doesn't win Coach of the Year is just stupid, right? Especially during the Brady era. It was just like, didn't he win it once?
It's like him and Krzyzewski have combined for like one Coach of the Year in the ACC and NFL.
Right. Is insane, right? Yeah. I mean, and just they're victims of their own success and expectations. People just expect them to win every year.
What people probably don't remember is that Najee Harris, there were people who had questions about him because of his ankle at the time of the draft.
Right.
And wondering how he'd hold up to a workload. Well, I think he's proven that he can.
Yep.
No doubt.
All right. Time to get to a fun portion of the show. You'll notice a certain trend.
That's right. This next one is going to be best value of the year, weighing ADP versus production.
Or with production, not versus. Not against.
Combined with production.
Yeah, weighing production with ADP.
Go ahead, Matthew Berry.
Well, here are the nominees.
Leonard Fournette. Go ahead. You can do it.
No, I'm
all right,
fine.
Leonard Fournette. Right? Do you want to do it?
No, you go ahead.
This is great podcasting right now.
Leonard Fournette drafted as running back 87th overall. Finished as running back 4. James Conner.
He finished as running back 6. James Conner, ADP of running back 34, finished as running back 5. Wide receiver Cooper Kupp finished as ADP of wide receiver 18, finished as wide receiver 1. And Deebo Samuel drafted as wide receiver 40. Finished as wide receiver 3. Best value of the year officially goes to Matthew Berry's little Cooper Kupp.
For a second consecutive season, our value of the year is awarded to a wide receiver in his first season with a new quarterback, as Stephon Diggs shipped this category a year ago. Shame.
All right, so interesting to see how the vote broke down, as 3 people voted for Deebo. It was actually the 3 of you. Everybody else, myself included, voted for Cooper Kupp. So why don't we do the Deebo portion? Or you want to make the Kupp case first, you guys can do the counterpoint?
I think the Kupp cape is cupcake.
Yeah, it's pretty obvious.
It's obvious.
So yesterday there was a lot of rhetoric and a lot of discussion and debate about whether a 17-game season diluted records, or how these records should be perceived and what they mean, how they'll be reflected upon. I think at some point what's going to happen is basically every record is going to be broken. Like 30 years from now, we're not even going to remember 16-game seasons. So I'm not really here in the business to tear down any remarkable accomplishments. I'm just here to say that, like, Cooper Kupp had one of the truly spectacular seasons we've ever seen for any single player in the history of the NFL. And I get it. He was drafted considerably higher than Deebo Samuel, nearly 50 spots higher in the draft. But you got basically the best wide receiver every single week for like 17 weeks this season.
Yeah, I guess, listen, I love my little Cooper Kupp, and there's a lot of awards in which I voted for him. I certainly understand the argument. It's obviously an amazing season. It's a record-breaking season. My argument for Deebo Samuel and why I voted for him, very simply, is this. Deebo Samuel, wide receiver 3, Cooper Kupp, wide receiver 1. So there's 2 spots difference between them. Ultimately, it wound up being about 5 points a game difference between the two of them. So Cooper Kupp was drafted as wide receiver 18. Like, Cooper Kupp was expected to be a fantasy starter this year. No one expected him to, you know, challenge Randy Moss and Jerry Rice for one of the greatest seasons of all time in NFL history. But Cooper Kupp was expected to be a fantasy starter. He was drafted as a top 20 wide receiver. Yeah. We expected production out of him. And we did expect the Rams offense to get a boost from Matthew Stafford replacing Jared Goff. Okay. Deebo Samuel's drafted in the 10th round. Wide receiver 40. All the preseason hype was on Brandon Ayuk. Deebo Samuel had missed a bunch of games the previous year. Is this Brandon Ayuk? By the way, we expect this to be a run-heavy team. We don't know if there's going to be a rookie quarterback or not. We just don't know what the passing offense for the 49ers is going to be. There were so many more questions about Deebo Samuel. And again, getting wide receiver 3 production from the 10th round and wide receiver 40 versus getting wide receiver 1 production from, you know, wide receiver 18, you know, from the 3rd round, basically. I just thought the value, I thought the production was close enough that the massive gap in ADP and value was enough to swing my vote to Deebo Samuel.
That's essentially what happened to me as well. Now, do you want to apologize since I voted for Deebo here?
No, thank you. It's about time you came on board the 49ers bandwagon.
You know.
If the 49ers don't beat Dallas, will you root for the Cowboys next week? I'm just curious. Like, where is that going to go? Is it just like, what NFL team will get, if the 49ers lose to Dallas this weekend, who will get your vote in the divisional round? Who will be your team?
Who it won't be?
Who won't
the Rams.
Be? The Rams.
Right, anyway, the NFC West.
All right, fair enough.
No, but honestly, that was it for me too. Deebo Samuel, value-wise, value. I drafted him in the Scott Fishbowl, and I know it was double-digit rounds.
Oh, like, sure.
I mean.
And that's a crazy deep league, to her point.
Crazy deep league, and Deebo Samuel ended up being one of the stars week in and week out.
I'm going to save some of my Cooper Kupp thoughts. It'll make sense because we got a few more awards, and surprise, he might be nominated for them, Daniel.
That's right. The next award that we are going to talk about is Breakout Player of the Year, the player that most overachieved expectations. The nominees are Cordarrelle Patterson, drafted as running back 13, undrafted in 97.6% of leagues, finished as running back 9. Deebo Samuel, drafted as wide receiver 40, finished as wide receiver 3. Cooper Kupp, drafted as wide receiver 18, finished as wide receiver 1. And Hunter Renfrow, undrafted in 98% of leagues, finished as wide receiver 10. And the winner for Breakout Player of the Year is Matthew Berry's little Cooper Kupp.
But this was a close one.
For the third time in 4 seasons, our value player also won the Breakout Award. Kupp does it this year after Patrick Mahomes accomplished the feat in 2018, and Lamar Jackson did it in 2019.
Yeah, so prestigious 06-0 and OE to my little Cooper Kupp. Well-deserved here. My vote, very simply, you know, look, so breakout player. And so when I think of breakout players, I think of somebody that has, in essence, redefined how we view them in fantasy. And so Cooper Kupp's always been a fantasy starter, but like Cooper Kupp is now a no-brainer first-round pick, just, you know, regardless of position, and a locked-in, you know, elite wide receiver. He's in the same conversation next year as Devontae Adams, as Tyreek Hill, as some of these guys that we didn't expect a slot receiver to be in that conversation, and he is. And so for me, that's why he wins Breakout Player of the Year, is that we redefined how we view my little Cooper Kupp.
I voted for Cordarrelle Patterson for the player that most overachieved expectations. I mean, undrafted, nearly 98% of leagues. Nobody, you made the case when you were talking about him in a different category, but to me, that's why he was the breakout, was because of the level that he achieved. And if you want to talk about redefining expectations at a position, people are now talking about other running backs who look like Cordarrelle Patterson in terms of their hybrid ability, whether they can be a receiver, they can be a running back, they can line up in different positions, and they can provide fantasy value no matter where they are. That was the rationale for voting for Cordarrelle Patterson.
I think that's fair. I've certainly seen, like, a lot of people say, like, should Laviska Shenault be a running back? You know, like, again, so I think it's a completely legitimate vote to have Cordarrelle Patterson as breakout player of the year. I just went for Cooper Kupp.
Yeah, you know, I just think that sometimes, so we talk about this, Matthew always reminds us during the preseason manifesto that it's a weekly game, not a season-long game. Cooper Kupp is an exception that is a season-long output from him that was just unbelievably remarkable. Beyond that, there were some weekly moments that I think really spurred me to feel like it was Cooper Kupp. And I know this is just one example, but there are several this year. Tuesday night football, when the Rams played.
Yep.
I believe that was the first week of the playoffs, maybe the second week of the playoffs.
I think it was the first,
depending on your league and your formatting. Right. But like, that's a moment where you are hanging on to one last thread, and that last thread happened to be Cooper Kupp. And he delivered in a major way, right? It just felt like when you needed him most, he had one dud game, and I believe it was 11.5 fantasy points in like week two or three.
Right.
He was unquestionably the most consistent player in fantasy. And again, I just don't think there's any way to oversell just how remarkable this year was for Cooper Kupp.
How about this as well? He was actually the second Ram wide receiver that was drafted, as Robert Woods was drafted 10 spots higher than Cooper Kupp.
That's unbelievable.
Let's not forget about Robert Woods being on that team, just as a part of that. All right. Next award, probably the most prestigious of all the awards. Playoff MVP, the most valuable player in weeks 14 through 17. The nominees are Devontae Adams with 114.5 fantasy points weeks 14 through 17. Cooper Kupp finished as wide receiver 2 during that time. Mark Andrews was tight end 1 with 105.5 fantasy points. And Amon-Ra St. Brown, wide receiver 4 with 100.2 fantasy points and a fantastic week 18 to boot. And
the 06-0-0 he goes to
Amon-Ra St. Brown. Congratulations!
St. Brown, oh my goodness.
Oh, the award himself.
St. Brown won this vote, accepting the award in place of Amon-Ra is Daniel Dopp. St. Brown won this vote in convincing fashion, becoming the first rookie to win this honor. And he even added a big week 18 for good measure.
Yeah, he was a top 6 wide receiver each of the, you know, final 3 weeks of the fantasy season. You know, 11 targets each week. He scored a touchdown each of those three weeks. Like, he was just a machine. He was quarterback proof, Field Yates. And I know there are a couple players, Adams and Kupp, that scored a few more points than him, but I chose him as my playoff MVP just because those players, I didn't feel like there was a distinction between when they sort of turned it on.
Right.
But Amon-Ra St. Brown, who many people picked up off the waiver wire at some point during the season, just ended up crushing in that specific time.
That's the thing, is that let's say you didn't have Cooper Kupp on your team, but you had like a pretty solid lineup of wide receivers. Right. The difference between you winning and losing in the playoffs could have been having Amon-Ra St. Brown in your league, right? Like, people that had Cooper Kupp start to finish, it was great. But if you had, I'm just making this up, not quite Cooper Kupp, but let's just say you had, I'm trying to think who's like the fifth or sixth best. Like, I don't know, Keenan Allen is like your top wide receiver this year. You could have been elevated by Amon-Ra St. Brown to overtake somebody that had Cooper Kupp this year. So happy for him. Happy for the Lions. Like, I'm so excited about this player. I think he's got an incredibly bright future. And I don't think this is a fluke. Like, I understand that they don't have a bunch of other pass catchers right now that they can throw to.
Right.
But the eye test, like, at some point, you just can't ignore it. That's right.
At some point, you just say, you know what? That's a kid who can play.
Yeah,
absolutely.
He can play ball.
All right.
And it is, we've talked about this briefly, and this is something to dive into for our off-season shows, and we're going to do a lot more off-season shows this year, Field. But I do think there is something to be studied. Thirsty Kyle, Damian, heads up here. I do think there's something interesting to be studied about slot receivers. Like, again, Cooper Kupp, you know, you think about Hunter Renfrow, you think about Amon-Ra St. Brown. Like, we've seen production from slot receivers this year in a way that I don't feel like we have in previous years. You know what I mean? Like, in terms of being used in the red zone, in terms of their scoring equity, in terms of them being dominant fantasy players versus just nice to have, you know, wide receiver 3s in PPR,
right?
Which is what, you know, like Edelman was for a number of years. Sure. Like Edelman was always like wide receiver 18. He was always fine. He was always, you know, he was seven for 67.
Just talking ball for a second here. Is this because of the two deep safety that's been happening so much in the NFL? There's just more underneath for people to be able to be open if they're keeping people back?
Yeah, there's probably some elements of that. I think offensive line play has regressed over the past few years. I think that that quarterbacks, there aren't that many quarterbacks that are able to overcome deficient offensive line plus wide receivers that aren't dominant speed players. Like I don't know the exact. That's a good question, Daniel. I'd have to ask Matt Bowen about something like that. But Stephon, you voted for Devontae here. Your thoughts on the Devontae?
I did. Look, and nomination. I love him on Ross St. Brown. I had him on a number of teams. Mm. My Scott Fishbowl team.
No
did
loyalty,
really well.
Though.
No, but no.
Had him on a number of teams,
no,
but
here,
didn't vote for
me.
Him.
Here, I appear
he
to
won
be,
you the Survivor League, and he couldn't get you your vote.
I appear
you
to
outrageous.
Be the only one who actually read the directions and interpreted them literally in terms of most valuable weeks 14 to 17. And Devontae Adams actually had higher points per week. Amon-Ra St. Brown had big booms in a couple of weeks, but Devontae Adams outscored Amon-Ra St. Brown in each two-week segment. So if you're looking at who might have made the difference and tipped the scale just by a couple of points in your fantasy playoffs, it was Devontae Adams. That's all. Okay. There's nothing against the talent of Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Listen.
I just literally went by the directions and I looked at their points per week.
Valuable. And value has is an elastic meaning. And we're arguing that value, because you were able to pick up Amon-Ra St. Brown as opposed to using a first-round pick on Devontae Adams. Devontae Adams won in the first round of every single league.
Oh, my gosh. Has anyone ever dissected MVP? Oh.
All I know is a year long. Like, I read the directions, blah, blah.
Right.
You know who she is? I've told you this before.
Who's
you're
that?
Hermione Granger.
Wow.
Granger.
Wow.
You're totally Hermione. Wow.
Most valuable.
That's your new nickname,
is points
is Hermione.
On the field. And
I'll
if
say
you want to get literal with points on the field, Devontae Adams would like a word with you.
If you want to get literal with this award, Amon-Ra St. Brown, you can DM me or Detroit Lions PR at Daniel Dopp at Twitter. We'll make sure that we send it to you.
How about that?
All right.
Can I mention one player, though, that did not get nominated, but I wanted to just shout him out. And
sure.
If anybody here has...
Yeah.
Say it again?
We have one last award. We're going to do one more before we get there. Yeah.
Yeah, this is playoff MVP.
Yeah.
A guy that did not make this.
Correct.
Rashad Penny.
Oh, yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Oh,
he's
awesome.
Seahawks
yeah.
running back.
Honorable mention, for sure.
Friend of ours, Michael Gelkin, Dallas Morning News, has been doing this for, what, 4 or 5 years now?
At least.
Okay,
where
right,
he,
right.
at the end
About
of the
years.
Season...
Champion causes.
Yep, mm-hmm. And he helps find player causes they stand for. And if you want a championship because of somebody... So if anybody knows, my best research on Rashad Penny is that he has been an advocate for autism awareness. If anybody has a specific organization that he works with, I've reached out to a couple people in Seattle. I've not yet gotten an answer, but if anybody can find that out, tweeted at me, would love that, because Rashad was a big help down the stretch, and he was it's an amazing story.
Right.
Really
so,
cool story.
Unbelievable story for Rashad Penny. Real interesting. Seattle's going to have a lot of decisions this offseason. It's going to be very interesting to see what happens. But Penny was nothing short of fantastic. Like over 170
agent, yeah.
yards, multiple games. Really nice to see after a slow start to his career and dealing with
injuries,
a lot of injuries,
yeah.
a lot of injuries as well. And just to close the loop on what you brought up, Field. It's a great point. So you can find Michael at Gelkin NFL on Twitter. Michael Gelkin, GEHLKEN, I believe.
Yep, that's right.
And it's his pinned tweet, I should say. And in essence, basically, right, that's what he does, is he finds out the charities that NFL players are associated with. And so if Rashad Penny helped you out, or Amon-Ra St. Brown or Devontae Adams or whoever, and you would like to donate a portion of your winnings to a charity that is supported by that player, it's always a great cause. It's really, you know, wonderful. Michael does it every single year. Champion causes is what he calls it. And, you know, I think about like the year Todd Gurley, they raised $20,000 for the Shriners Hospital.
Really cool. Really good stuff.
Gurley led everyone to the championship. So.
Let's bring it on home, Daniel Dopp, with one more. And no surprise, the last award is...
Last award is the Fantasy MVP. And is the best player in fantasy football in 2021. And the nominees are Mark Andrews, finishes tight end one with 301.1 fantasy points. Cooper Kupp finished as wide receiver one with 439.5 fantasy points. Jonathan Taylor finished as running back one with 373.1 fantasy points. And Austin Eckler finished as RB2 with 343.8 fantasy points. And the winner for fantasy MVP is Matthew Berry's Little Cooper Kupp.
is the first wide receiver to take home this award and was our first unanimous winner since Derrick Henry garnered every vote for playoff MVP in 2018. Matthews, Little, Cooper Kupp.
34.2 more fantasy points than any other player.
Unreal.
Regardless of position. If ever there was a no-brainer vote, again, it was unanimous. I don't think anyone spent more than 3 seconds thinking about it. Obviously, my Little Cooper Kupp, the fantasy MVP. Congratulations. I don't know that we need to spend a lot of time talking about this field because it was so dominant and so obvious.
Yeah, the only thing that I would say is that sometimes I always get a little bit uncomfortable when like a team wins a championship, we talk about it the day after, and then we're already on to the next season. So we will appreciate and revel and relish in all that Cooper Kupp did this year. It was a truly remarkable season. Matthew gave you one of the numbers. He averaged 25.8 fantasy points per game this year. That is the highest ever for a wide receiver for a full season, along with Jerry Rice. Not sure if you guys are familiar with his work. So wow. Just a remarkably well-deserved award for Cooper Kupp. Hopefully the start of something special in Los Angeles between he and Matthew Stafford. He was exceptional this year, Daniel.
Phil, I just want to say really quickly, and I like being able to look at two players like this, right? And if you've already said this in the show, I apologize. I wasn't listening. But
all good.
That's my gig.
I understand.
But when you're a great listener.
You look at Stephon Diggs, who is a fantastic wide receiver.
Yeah.
Wide receiver 7 this year.
This is crazy.
Cooper Kupp had 150 more fantasy points.
That's ridiculous.
Than Stephon Diggs. 150.
Yeah. Makes no
sense. That's unreal.
Broke the scale, man. He broke the scale. Yeah. He was unbelievable. Yeah. He was exceptional in every single way.
Yep. And his father, Craig Kupp, former NFL player, friend of the show, came on the fantasy show on ESPN Plus. We interviewed him and we debated who loved him more, me or him. Sure. We agreed.
Who'd you guys decide?
We agreed.
We agreed that Craig loves him more than I do, but that I love him more than his mom.
Okay.
That's where Craig and I came up with. It goes Craig, me, and then Mama Kupp.
All right, so we got a couple minutes left here. The awards have all been handed out. We are going to spend the next few minutes doing something that we could probably spend an entire show doing, right?
Easy.
Which is thanking everybody who is a huge part of the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast every single day. I know we said this a little bit last week, but we do a show for an hour a day. It's a 24-hour operation, nearly. We have so many people that work.
It's a live show. Yep. It's a live show with no commercial break. So, yeah.
But it might as well be a 24-hour operation with the people that work so incredibly hard. We have an incredible production staff. We have an unbelievable directorial staff. We have people that are making graphics endlessly every single day. We've got an audio team. We've got people that are part of the studio operations crew that are currently operating the jib that you are watching through and cameras that you're watching through. Yeah. Yes. All these different tentacles that go into this podcast.
You're seeing all their wonderful names there on the screen.
That are,
yes.
Because they're so, which also we think is important to show you just how many people it takes to put on this production.
To make us look semi-professional. Yes.
Well,
we have
for us.
Yeah.
Matthew has his own wrangler that we don't, and we appreciate that person.
Yeah.
We have a ton of people that are great advocates of the show and have helped it grow over the years. Wasn't long ago that we were just doing a podcast in a radio studio with no video component. The show has grown into something that I hope ESPN is proud of as one of its leading digital products. That certainly is something that we take a lot of pride in, and we hope for even more growth all throughout this offseason and next season as well. We have an amazing research staff as well. We've got so many people that are a big part of that. But we will be remiss to not mention the engine that keeps this thing going every single day. And that's Kyle Soppe, who sometimes gets a little grief on the show. But as far as I'm concerned, you will not find a harder working, more genuine, kind, dedicated person than Kyle Soppe, who you can email him any hour of the day. Try him. You want to try him at 2:30 in the morning? It's going to work. You want to email him at 6 a.m., noon, doesn't matter the time of the day. Kyle works so hard. It's an incredible asset to us here at ESPN Fantasy. Huge part of what we do.
Here's the question. Is Kyle the most valuable person on the 06010, or is it his wife?
Maybe,
That's right. I mean, putting up with him answering texts at 2:30 in the morning or whatever it is.
True.
Putting together stuff. So Thirsty Kyle does a great job. Unbelievable job, Kyle. We couldn't do the show without you. We couldn't do the show without Daniel Dopp.
That's right.
I mean, we have many times.
I've done it a bunch.
We have done
it
a lot without you, yeah. but it's not as good. It's not as good without you.
That means a lot,
and of course,
Daniel's
Matt
the heartbeat. Matt Harrington does an amazing job producing not just Fantasy Football Now, but this show a few days during the week as well. We've had a great, great team of producers this year. Dave Presley, who was with us for the first half of the season. Madison, who took over in a more recent how schedule. Terrence has been great. Terrence doing his first shows and crushed it here with us. Jackson Ajello, who does all the social. You guys know Jackson, who makes all the great content that you see in the Fantasy Focus Twitter account. This is the closest I'll ever feel like a celebrity, because you always see them. These are like the best the and brightest stars. Who are like, oh my God, I know I'm forgetting 19 people right now. So I'm just going to thank my wife or thank my husband and walk off the stage. So I came ill prepared with the speech.
Let's not forget our Emmy award-winning director, Lisa, who put together this fabulous production
today
and really got all into the spirit of the awards.
We've had a few directors over the year, but Lisa directs almost all the shows and she absolutely crushes. We love Lisa. Yep. She is the best. And we should also mention, by the way, because they're not here and I know they would echo our sentiments, and that's Mike Clay and Al Zeidenfeld, who you know, contribute greatly to the show. We appreciate everyone, all of our guests that have been on the show. We appreciate that.
Totally. Matthew and Stefania.
What am I messing?
Nothing.
The fans. Just the fans and the viewers and the listeners, because I tell you what, it is really, really special to see how many people tune in every single day, whether they're listening, whether they're on the live stream somewhere. We've got a Facebook community. We've got a YouTube chat community. We've got a Twitter community. It's really cool to see. We so appreciate each and every one of you.
Mama Dopp.
We forgot Mama Dopp. That's right.
Mama Dopp leading the chat.
But we're going to be back. We are not going away. We're not going to be gone for 6 months. This is not hibernation for us. We're going to try to amplify our content all off season, but until we talk to you, which will be sometime soon,
hopefully we get to see you guys in person. We're desperate to get back out and do live shows again.
We
we're hopeful that we get to do that this year,
but that was
but
a heck of a year.
We love and miss you guys. Honestly, 060 Nation is the absolute best.
The next you hear from the Fantasy Focus feed will be the DFS show all throughout the playoffs. Mike Clay, Al Zeidenfeld, and of course our guy Daniel Dopp leading the way. If we forgot to mention you by name, just know that we thank you so much. Everybody, we'll talk to you soon. Thanks for an incredible season.
Peace out!
Turning numbers into dreams. That's what he'll do. Along with random Damien, he's in Fields Group. The deepest voice you'll ever hear.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
Throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.